Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So, let's go here. And if you have your cell phones, you put them on the silent position. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Some Will Depart from the Faith. And we're going to see this in Scripture that not only do the Apostle Paul mentions this as he wrote this letter to Timothy, but Jesus even said that in the last days, that there would be what's called an apostasy. So ask yourself this. I've been walking with Christ for 33 years. I have met some beautiful saints of God. But I could also, and I'm not going to mention their names, they're not walking with Christ when they started out with me during that time. They're out in the world again. So this declares to me what the God said, that as times draw closer of his return, many would walk away from the faith. This is why it is important for us to be in the Word. It is important for us to be in fellowship. It is important for us to continue to praise God and worship music and fill our mind with the things of Christ. Why? Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can throw you off track, you will find yourself no differently from the ones that have fallen away. And there's a whole bunch of them that have fallen away. And I got proof in scriptures that tells us this. So, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And here's the scripture right up here. Look at this. Now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, expressly says that in latter times, we're the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Look at that. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. These are people that have tied it, that they just, case in point, this one brother, dear friend to brother evangelist Felipe Relis and myself. And you don't know who he is, so I can just go as far as his nephew. But I won't mention his name. Started out with us. Got filled with the Holy Ghost at North Park Apostolic. And now, he's a Rastafarian. He wears these dreadlocks. He smokes the ganji. He fell away. And I don't know how many times we try to reach him. But wait a minute. For 2 years, you were on fire for God. You were preaching. You were telling people about Jesus. What happened? Well, this is what happened. Jesus said, God said, that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. He is one of those some that will depart. This is why let me just say this. We have to be very careful how we entreat one another in church. Just bless one another. Be friendly with one another, because you know what? I shared this before. When I was in the world in my BC years and running with some hardcore thugs, we used to get drunk and we used to have fist fights at night and just beat each other up, and then the next morning we'd be friends again. But if you get somebody in the time that we live in, if you get somebody upset in church, they will leave. I've been offended. I'm not going to this church no more. Wow. Help us, God. I shared with my brother last night in the men's ministry. You know what? If there's an ought in the church, the way it's done in church now, if I, like Pastor, if I had an ought with you, I would go to you directly and let's resolve this. And if we can't resolve it, then we take it to the pastor. And let's resolve it so that there will be peace between us. But not, people go, oh no, you offended me, I'm gone. Thin skin. Let's read this. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Look at verse 3. Forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For if it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Look at verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. That's the key. Stay away from profane things. Watch out what you watch on TV and what you hear. Watch out for some videos on YouTube thinking that they are from God. And they'll mislead you. Doctrines of devils is out there now. Look at this. So let's break this down. So verse 1 and verse 2 come together. Let's look at this again. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So saints of God, the false teaching in Ephesus, this is where this took place. This is where he wrote this letter to Timothy. It was in Ephesus. It was no surprise. The betrayal of the gospel had already been foreseen. Because Jesus even said, Paul even wrote it down, that these things would take place, especially in the latter times. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 24:10 up here. Look at this. And then many will be offended. Wow, I'm offended. Will betray one another. Oh, I can't be by you no more. And then they leave. Then they go to another church. And guess what they do? They go to another church. They haven't resolved that issue. And so it happens again over there. And then they'll find fault with someone there. And then go to another one. It's like ring around the rosies. So here's the fix. Resolve it while you're there so that you will be at peace with one another and you will glorify God because God wants you to be at peace. He don't want you running. That's like bar hopping. Remember back in the day? So they church hop. Look at this. And then many will be offended, will betray one another. Wow. And we'll hate one another. Look, Jesus said, hate one another. There was two recently. They ended up splitting. One left our church and hates the other. And it was brought to my attention last night at the men's ministry. That person hates that person. Just like Jesus said it would happen. Because I was trying to figure out what it means Sister Yolanda do. We didn't do anything to offend them. We love everybody that comes here. We treat them with hospitality and love and grace. And the person told me, it wasn't you, Pastor. It was they had an ought with each other. And one just ran away. Wow! And so when I was sitting down studying this, I go, oh my God, Jesus, you just answered what just went down. He just answered it. Look at that. And then many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Oh, wow. So Jesus already saw this coming. This is why he said to endure all the way to the end. Be long-suffering with people. Listen, nobody's perfect. Can I get an amen? Listen, if I hang out with you long enough, you'll find my faults and I'll find yours. But what are we to do with that? We are to cover each other with love. Because love covers a multitude of sin. If I love you like Christ, I don't look at your sin. I look at the love of God, and then I just see you as a child of God. Growing like I'm growing. Trying to make it there like we are all trying to make it there. Amen? So we are to help one another. We are to lift one another up. We are to edify and build each other up. You know, a quick resolve of whatever the issue was could have been, you know what? Let's just take time out and hug each other right now. And just go for the hug. And then just let it go. And then start crying with one another. Man, I shouldn't have thought that of you, man. You know, and then all of a sudden, you become a better friend. When you let your guard down and you just become vulnerable to how God wants it, to love one another unconditionally. But we build that wall. You offended me. You don't know, no one can see that but you and God. Help us, Jesus. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians. Paul wrote this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken. Look at this. So soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word, by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Did you catch that? There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be people leaving the faith. Falling away comes first. And then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. So Paul's phrase here, and the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, saints of God, most likely refers to warnings repeatedly given by Jesus, given by Paul, and all the apostles against the dangers of false teachers. Be careful with false teaching. There's some false teachers out there. Paul's direct concern here was not just about the teachers themselves, as much for those who would be deceived by them. We're gonna always come against false teaching, people that really don't know their word. But you know what? Don't receive it. Real quickly, I know some people that work for department stores. One of them at Walmart, I forget where the other one is. And guess what they train them to do? They study the real dollar bills. They study them very carefully. Because after you know what a real dollar bill looks like, you'll know what a counterfeit looks like. They don't show you counterfeits because there's so many counterfeits. And they all kind of look weird. And they look like a dollar, but then you'll find something quirky about it, and it's not a real dollar. So they study the real dollar so they can go, oh, that's the counterfeit, because it's not like the real dollar. So for us, stay in the Word. Read your Word. Be under sound, anointed teaching. So that when the false doctrine comes, you'll know, that ain't what the Word says. I know what the Word says. That's not what the Word says. And you'll be a scholar. God wants us to know how to rightly divide the word of faith. Can I get amen? So look at this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together in him, we ask you not to be so soon removed and shaken in trouble, either by spirit or word, by letter, as it's from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will come unless the falling away comes first. Then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Guess who the son of perdition is? The son of the devil. The Antichrist himself. But there's going to be a falling away. Oh God, help them. Pray for them. If you know people that has walked away, all you can do is pray and intercede. Ask God to bring them back. Because whatever you say to them, they're going to want nothing to do with it. Some people get in a place where they don't want to hear the things about God. No, nothing to do with God. They're mad. They're angry. They hate the things of God because the seven wicked more demons came in. The Bible says when you sweep out the house, seven wicked more come in. And now they're worse than the first time they were unsaved. They're worse now. Jesus, help us. And so the last times began with Christ's resurrection. When he rose again, that's when you can count the last days now. And it's been 2,000 years. And what does the Bible say about 1,000 years? It's like one day to the Lord. And one day is like 1,000. So from the cross to now, it's been 2 days to God. 2 days. Because there's no clocks in heaven. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, God. See, Jesus and the apostles, what they did, they forewarned us that during that interim time, including the time that we live in now, false teachers would abound. And they're here. There's a bunch of them. Like I said, if you go to YouTube, be careful what you hear. I was listening to this one, and he was trying to break it down that God was going to give us another 100 years and this. I go, wait a minute. Everything's converging now. All the things that the prophet said, what would happen, what Jesus said, what would happen in the latter days is taking place right now as we speak. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places, falling away. All that's happening right now, all at once, like never before in the history of the world. That lets us know he's on his way. How many can't wait to be in his presence? How many can't wait to have a body like his? How many can't wait that you'll have a body that'll never die, never grow old? It'll always be about the age of 30.
And fly.
And fly. Oh, that's right. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so look what Jesus said. He said it best. Look at this. In Matthew 24:5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will what? Deceive many. And then Paul wrote to the Roman church and wrote this in Romans 16:18. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. He wants to prey on these innocent saints. And you know who the enemy goes after? Young saints that are not yet seasoned. They're not deep in the word yet. Pull them away. Wow. Look what James wrote. James wrote this. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The wisdom from the world is demonic. And that's what causes people to jump ship. They'd rather believe a lie than the truth of the word of God. Look at 2 Peter right up here. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And so these participants in the church, saints, will turn away from the faith like we are seeing in the word here. And even though they may appear to still be faithful believers, some of them have already are bound up to a lie, and they're slowly fading away. You know, here's the thing. It's a gradual thing. You ever heard about the frog that's in the water, in a pot of water? Okay, so if you get a pot of water and put it on the stove and put the frog in it, he will stay in there and he'll swim around. Then you turn on the burners, right? And the water starts slowly getting hot. And then it starts to boil. Well, he doesn't know any better. He's in there. And it's getting hotter and hotter. And then he ends up being boiled there alive. He won't jump out because he's trying to adapt to the temperature. Now, if you take that same pot of water and have it boiling, and then you drop the frog in, he will jump out. And so what happens to a believer is they'll slowly start fading away. It doesn't happen overnight. They get invited to a club. They get invited to parties. They go with maybe relatives or unsaved folks. They go out on a Friday and they go, oh man, I remember when I used to go shake it up. Yeah, brothers are checking out women again. Saved brothers. And then saved sisters are being looked at again with different eyes, not like how the church looks at them. And so all that is changing, not overnight, but in a slow progression, until eventually they start falling that way in darkness, and then the things of God does not excite them anymore. The joy of the Lord is not enough for them no more. And now they go back. They go back to the world. And then the Spirit of God departs. Because God will depart after a long term of conviction, then he departs. Why do you think King David says, oh God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me? Because God cannot dwell in darkness. God will not dwell in you during rebellion. It's against his nature. Wow. Jesus, help us. Some of them pretend to be religious, but their conscience is already dead. Paul had no patience for false teaching and no soft words for false teachers. No, Paul was a man's man. He had to rebuke them right there on the spot. Paul wasn't a popular apostle, but for us, he was the greatest apostle because he brought forth truth and boldness. And there was no error in his writings. Or God wouldn't allow him to be in the Bible. He never said that false teachers misunderstood the gospel or that they simply taught an error. No, they purposed themselves to be contrary to the word of God. They wanted to be against God's word because they hated God. These false teachers hated God. They were hypocrites and liars, with their teaching coming from Satan himself. Let me ask you this question. Who did Jesus have the most trouble with when he was on earth? It wasn't with the people. The religious, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, huh? Those folks. Here was the prophesied Messiah in front of them, and they did not believe it was him. But they read Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. They read those, and here he is now in front of them, and they could not refuse to accept that. You know why? Because they were looking for a king that would destroy Rome so that they would be relieved from the tyranny of Rome. Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to save our souls. He came to set us free internally. He came with a whole different way. He didn't come man's way. He came God's way. Yes. To destroy Satan and his works, which is the kingdom of darkness. Yes. You see, saints of God, Satan deceives people tremendously. So let's move on to verse 3 and 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it reads, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. You know, my father is Filipino, and I come from a Filipino culture. My mother's Mexican. And both sides have delicious foods. But put that in front of a Jew. They'll look at it, no, that's an abomination. Especially if it's lechon. Or menudo. Or carnitas. Yeah. Oh, they want nothing to do with it. Yet, God made those things for us to enjoy. Let me ask you this. Here's how you acknowledge what we're just reading right here. Look at this. By those who believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, right? So as a believer, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and you ate a carnita burrito, is he going to just come and take the Holy Spirit from you now? No. We pray for our food. We say, Lord, thank you for this meal. Thank you for, we give you thanks like that. We give you thanks. You created this animal for us to enjoy. You didn't call us to be kosher. Right? We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. Saved by God's grace. Now we're a new person. Jew and Gentile, the new creature, the new man. But you're going to find these false teachers. You're not supposed to be eating that. No. Don't you eat that chicharron. And so some of them, the false teachers, perhaps even under the Jewish influence, gave stringent rules forbidding the marriage, demanding abstinence from certain foods. You know, if you want to go that direction and do that, that's fine. You want to be a vegetarian, that's okay. We've done some vegetarian diets in our life. There's nothing wrong with it. But eventually we made it back to pork adobo. Amen. So later these teachings became part of what we know as Gnosticism. Remember that word, Gnosticism, a belief that spirit is good, but the physical world is evil. That's what Gnostics believe. That the Spirit of God is good, but the things, everything else is evil. No. We're sinful. It doesn't make you evil. Can I get an amen? There's a difference because God gave us a conscience. Because God gave us a conscience, he gives a conscience not to do evil. Evil like murder and to steal and to, you know, do all kinds of wicked stuff. Now that we're saved, we would just want to bless him and honor him and love one another and learn to be like him. To be good and to achieve a higher spiritual state, a person must deny all evil, including natural physical desires. That's what these were at that time thinking. And Paul had to come back and rewrite it. And they hated Paul. They called Paul a blasphemer. This is why there were towns he went to and they jumped him. They threw rocks at him. They tried to stone him to death. They beat him with rods. His own countrymen beat him. He was beaten with iron rods. He said, I've suffered many things for the cause of Christ. Wow. And so the demands of the false teachers appear self-disciplined and righteous. Watch out for them. I don't do this, do you? Watch out. Because you know what? When they walk away from you, they got wicked intentions. And they probably go home and kick the dog. And yell at their wife. Yeah. And have a bag of chicharrones. But I told them, watch out. Just watch out. Amen. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. Look at this. Now, concerning the things which I wrote, that you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. You see, back then they were saying, no. You're going to be a person of the cloth. You got to stay pure. Paul came back and said, wait a minute. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Can I get amen? Or Eve and Gloria. No, it's Adam and Eve. Can I get amen? Jesus, help us here. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each one have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the attention due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. You know, this is something that I go really deep in premarital counseling. Because this right here, what we just read, I won't go into that detail when I'm counseling couples. But this can be used as bartering. You ever bartered something? I'll do this if you do that. But if you can't do that, I won't do that. Oh, come on, they do. When you become married, guess what? You're mine and I'm yours, period. And then I'm going to stop there because we go deeper than that. And this is something that should be discussed with young couples that are thinking about getting married so that they know when they enter into the marriage, you are each other's. And you can't put authority over your own body over his and vice versa. You guys, it's mutual sharing. Look at Ephesians right up here. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife. Oh! Do we see an order here? Is there an order here? It's God, the man, then the woman, then the child, right? Look at this. As to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. But husbands, love your wives. Just because God is saying, okay, you're leading, you're the priest, but don't think that you can hoard your authority over them. You are to love them equally. Can I get amen? Husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Sunday, I shared with all of you, Yolanda and I, our 29 years was our anniversary. And not one year have we regretted that we ever married each other. We still serve and honor each other and love each other like day one. Why? Because Christ, the hope of glory, lives in us. And so we want to honor Him by honoring each other. Can I get an amen in the house? Look at verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the Word. That He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Can I get amen? Do I love myself? Yes, because I love my wife. The way I love myself is the way I love my wife. If I didn't love myself, I wouldn't love my wife. But I love myself because God made me who I am today. So I thank God He made me this way. And because I want to please Him, I also want to please His gift that He gave me. She was a flower that He gave me from His garden. And He placed it in my hand. Now water her. Cleanse her. Watch over her. Bless her. And I've done that for 29 years. And I'm going to continue until He comes. Can I get an amen back there? I see you back there. She's back there because her eyes are dilated. She went to go see the eye doctor. And these lights are just too bright. Although Paul advised against marriage in some situations, he always upheld marriage as ordained by God and as an illustration of Christ's relationship to the church. How many believe that we are the bride of Christ? And how many believe that we are betrothed by Him? And how many believe He's coming back for His bride? We're the bride of Christ. He's coming back for us. And He's going to whiz us away. And we're going to be with Him. And we're going to celebrate 7 years of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to see with our own eyes in heaven the coronation of the King, where His Father will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will be an eyewitness to that. And all the books will be open. Every one of us will stand before the bema seat of Christ. And He will give out His rewards to each and every one of His servants. Some of us will get gold and silver and bronze. Some of us hay, stubble, and... Yet, the Bible says you are saved. Well, I've said this in the past. If I get in there, I'm going to get in there with smoke at my tail. Just made it in here. No, many of us, God is going to bless. You know why? Because number one, you honored Him. You loved the saints. You served the body. You loved outreaches. You helped those who were in need. Excuse me. All these things that He was expecting us to do, we did it because we loved Him. We didn't do it out of obligation. We didn't do it because, oh man, I got to go do this. I got to go do my priestly duties. No. We do these things because we love the Lord. There should be a joy in serving the Lord. Amen? There's a joy in it. I've been pastoring for 17 years. It's a joy. Every time I get an opportunity to speak, it's a joy. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Not everyone gets to do it. And when He calls you to do it, you go do it. Do it because He saw something that you didn't see, that you're capable to do it. With His help, with His strength, with His anointing, with His power, with His enlightenment, with His wisdom, with His knowledge, with His word. All that will build you up to do it. Amen. We're not here. I'm not here on my own strength. Couldn't do it. It's all Him. And so, but Paul, he denied the false teaching that it was wrong to be married. And the same, a certain amount of abstinence from all food, some of the time, and some were the kinds of food that in time it is basic and good health. There are some things that we can eat that the Jews at that time said, no, we're not going to eat that. That's good for you. Abstinence from food for the sake of prayer, fasting, has a history of service and spiritual training. Yeah, there's some things when you fast. You could go on a Daniel fast. You know, you stay away from the meats and all that, you know, and you just trying to, you know, just get clarity. But it's not a diet that you stay on it forever. There's nothing wrong with these little things that we do sometimes. But what I'm trying to say here through the Word of God is, don't make it a law. We can learn how to make things like a law. God set us free from the law. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. So we got, you know, error can be taught under the guise of devotion. Be careful. The false teaching was wrong in its conclusions, and the physical world is not the inherently evil world. The Bible says, we live in this world, but he says, just don't be of it. Listen, some of you go to work. Some of you have a great job. And all around you are unbelievers. It's not evil to work there. Can I get an amen? God has made institutions that you can go and work and make a living. And just be a bright light for them to see. Listen, a lot of your co-workers will never go to a Bible study. They'll never go to a Sunday morning. So the only Jesus they're going to see is you. Just be Jesus to them. Love them. Show them grace. Show them mercy. Your boss asks you to do something, just go do it. Yeah, no problem. And be the best worker there. Let your light shine bright. Because you know what? They're going to say, man, I can depend on that person. That person's always dependable. It's not like the other ones that said, no, I don't want it. They ask you to do a little overtime. Say, yeah, no problem. Whatever you need, I'm here. As long as I'm alive and I'm healthy, God placed me here to help this company. I want to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And when you have that attitude, it's going to carry you. It may even lead you to a supervision position. Because that supervisor will say, you know what? If I'm going to nominate someone to take my place, I want that person. Because they never gave me any fuss. Be that girl. Be that guy that they love. And they wish they had their company was filled with Araceli's, was filled with Kosha's, was filled with Arts, was filled with Yolanda's. Pastor Fee. And so all foods are acceptable by those who regard God as their provider and thank them for them. I'm always thankful. Sister Araceli knows, sister, can you make that run for me? She comes back with that bean and cheese burrito and those roll tacos, man. And you know what? When we unwrap them, we pray, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And we enjoy them. It's food. God gave us food to eat, right? To enjoy. Just imagine the food that God's going to prepare in heaven. Woo! Look at this. Look what Paul wrote in Romans 14:6. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. For he give what? He gives God thanks. Amen. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. So there's some people, you know, unbelievers, they won't pray. They just, boom, chow it down. You see them. Lunchtime, you go in the lunchroom, and people just crack it open. And don't even say nothing. They just start chowing down. And here we are. Lord, thank you. Thank you. thank you for this meal. Why? Because we know where the food comes from, right? And so we're just taking time out to say, thank you, Lord. I got a sandwich to eat. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote this. But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil? Speaking of the food over which I give thanks. You just ate chicharrones, but I gave thanks. Why is that evil? Can I get an amen? No. Don't let religious folks get to you, okay? Amen? Because guess what? They want one too. That's right. Well, you walked away and grabbed them. Even dipped your salsa. So we were reading, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received and thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. That was verse 3. Verse 4 was for every creature of God who's good, and nothing is to be refused. So now we move on to verse 5. Verse 5, here we go. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Saints, as we recognize God's hand in all the pleasures of His creation, and as we offer Him thanks, we take what is ordinary and make it extraordinary. Listen, let me just say this. When Yolanda prepares whatever she's going to make, she goes, it's done. I run to the table. Because I know it's going to be good. It's going to be delicious. She took time to prepare it. And we love food, as you can see. But God has given us this food. Can I get amen? Amen. There were times when our cupboards were bare. And God still provided. The Word of God says He's never seen His seed ever begging bread. God has always supplied all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Can I get amen? So in short, it is made holy by the Word of God and prayer. God pronounces creation as good. Therefore, saints of God, we are in agreement with God's declaration when we see all creation as suitable for special use. Praise God. And so look at this in Genesis 9:3. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you all things. All things. Even the animals. Praise God. Come on. Look at Psalms. Psalms 104:14. He makes the grass grow for the livestock, and provides crops for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil that makes his face to shine, and bread that sustains his heart. Thank you, God. Look at this. The grass in the fields for the livestock. So you can have some carne asada. Some steak. Medium rare. Well, come on. It's all from God. Amen? Amen. So we got two more verses to break down for tonight. So let's go to verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it reads, and if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. This is what he wrote to Timothy. Because Timothy was a great steward of the Word of God. Everything that was instructed from Paul to him, he did it. And he did it because of the joy of the Lord. He didn't do it out of obligation. He didn't do it because it was too hard. He did it because he loved the Lord, and he loved Paul, and he loved the things of God. When you love the things of God, you will learn to love the things that he has asked you to do. And God, let me just say this. God doesn't put anything on you that you cannot bear. He doesn't burden us. He doesn't. If you're looking at it as a task, you're looking at it in the wrong light. Everything that God asks us to do for him, we should be privileged people. We should go, man, what a privilege and honor he's asking me. You know how many people that probably have gone to hell because they rejected him all the way, all their life, and now they're in torment? I bet now they wish they could have said, oh man, I blew it. So-and-so was right. I should have surrendered my life. And they're in there with eternal misery. That's why whatever he asks of us, do it with a glad heart. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, God. I'll clean the bathroom, Lord. Yeah, God, I'll be a servant at the door. Yeah, God, I'll sit someone down. Yeah, God, I'll do Sunday school. Yeah, Lord, I'll come and help Pastor every now and then and bring a word. These simple things go 1,000 miles without ever ending with God. As soon as you can't see the road anymore, it's still going with God. And so a worthy servant faithfully teaches the truth to those in his care. If Timothy would faithfully explain what Paul has been talking about to others, he would be fed in the whole entire process. And he was fed, because everything that Paul, the apostle, gave to Timothy, he received it with gladness. And he did it with a purpose. So proper spiritual nourishment promotes spiritual growth. Remember that. Proper nourishment for Timothy included constant meditation on the message of faith, which is the gospel message, and true teaching, Paul's instructions that Timothy was to communicate to the saints in Ephesus. Timothy had been sent into a setting where there were conflicts over eating habits, and Paul had to write to Timothy to get it straight. They could eat those things. All they had to do was give God thanks. So minor matters were being inflated into major matters. You know, you could turn into a little minor matter into a major one, because we're hardened in our heart. Paul was echoing the dietary concerns of the false teachers by emphasizing to Timothy that what really mattered was feeding of the soul, not feeding of the flesh. It's what you take in your soul. Can I get amen? That's why he wrote to Timothy this. Look, when we get to the next chapter, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what we're called, is to be stewards of God's word, to know the word of God, to rightly divide the word of God, so that when someone tries to come and bamboozle you, you will know the counterfeit. You will know, God's word don't say that. And then you can go to the word of God and prove it. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Faithful. Let me ask this question. Are you called to be faithful? Yes. You know, God is looking, the number one thing that he should find in you first and foremost is faithfulness. That you're faithful to God. Because once you show that you're faithful to God, that's when now the doors will open for you to do ministry with him. And then he'll grab you by the hand, he'll take your hand, he'll walk you through every ministry that he has for you because of your faithfulness. Because you are a yes, yes, Lord person. Yes, God. You can use me, God. I want to be used by you, God. Look at this. Look what Peter wrote in 2 Peter. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So what is he saying? He's saying, you know what? We're here but for a moment. We live in this tent, this body of flesh. So we want God to use us as much as he can before we check out. I got saved at 30. It's been 33 years. And every day I say, God, use me until it's time for me to go home. Or you take me home. Or you take all of us home. But I want to be used by you, God. Being used by him is like, I don't know, it's like music. Music to my soul. Hallelujah. It's hard to wrap your words around it. It's hard to express it. Being used by him. Yes, it's so sweet. Sweeter than honey. And so our last verse is verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Look at this. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. What's an old wives' fable? Fable? Something even like, okay, yeah, it just came to me. When we were kids, my grandmother, she didn't know any better. She wasn't saved. But she said, don't look out of the window. Why? Don't look out of the window because the Llorona is in the window. That's an old fable. So we never wanted to open the curtain at night because if you look, she's right there looking at you. She's staring at you. And then they used to frighten me. The Llorona's in the world. That's a fable. That's not truth. See, so as we get older in Christ and we learn the things of God, reject those things, but reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Can I get amen? In other words, some of your old friends may roll by. They may come up out of nowhere and say, hey, man, I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, man, there's a party, man. You want to come? No, I'm sorry. I don't do those things no more. And now you can preach Christ to them. Can I get amen? Paul emphasized the absurdity of the false teachings by calling them godless ideas and old wives' tales. Wow. Timothy needed to understand the false teaching in order to fight it effectively with the truth. But then he was not to waste time on it either. Don't waste time on foolish things. Once you know those things are foolish, walk away from it. You can't change a horse's color. Until God gets a hold of their heart, you can't change a false teacher. Just refrain from them. Stay away. You shared the truth. Now, they don't get it. Okay. Well, I don't have to hang around with you either. Instead, he should spend his time and energy in training himself for spiritual fitness. The Bible study tonight, do you know how essential it is for us to grow in our faith? Tonight, we're growing in our faith. We're learning. We're hearing God's word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So every time you go into a service where the preaching of the word is, your faith is increasing. Your faith is growing. See, because here's the thing. God gives us one day at a time, right? We know that. But if you look at it, everything's divided. A month is divided in weeks. We have 7 days, right? Monday through Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, for some people, is their days off. Some people work 6 days. Sunday is their Sabbath day, and so on. And we get that. So look at the time that we get to be under the teaching of the Word. On Sunday morning, I speak for about an hour. So that's 1 hour that week. And then we have Wednesday night. That's about 45 minutes to 50 minutes. So maybe 2 hours the whole week. And yet, some people can't make that time. It's too much for them. They're just too consumed with the world. And instead of making time around the things of the Lord, they make time for the things of the world and put God secondary. Jesus, help us. Paul often borrowed athletic words to emphasize the need for spiritual training. And so we're going to close with these three scriptures here. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. What's that prize? A crown that God's going to give those who finishes the race. He's not saying to win the race. He's telling us to finish the race. I might be a slow turtle. I may not be as fast as I was when I was 30. But I'm still running toward the finish line. Can I get an amen? I can't run like a fast, quick fox. I'm running now like a turtle. But I'm still headed to the finish line. Can I get an amen? Amen. God says, just finish it to get your crown of glory. Look at this in Galatians. And I went up by revelation and I communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Paul didn't run in vain. Paul was raised up to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's us. Can I get an amen? And you know the crown that he probably got? The Bible says that those who receive crowns, when they see Jesus, they fall on their face and they slide their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And say, worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 5:7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? These were some people that were on fire, and then someone came and jacked them all up with lines. He goes, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So now they're believing a lie. But Timothy, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Look at this. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, before I close out, let me pray for all of us in here. Let's just bow our head. Father, thank you. Thank you for this race that you placed us in. The day you called us to be saved, we entered into a race, just like the Olympics. And God, you called us to run this race, to never look back, never to quit, never to give up. Keep running toward the prize, to the finish line. I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would help us, that we can endure everything that this life will throw at us. God, knowing that you're with us and you will never leave us nor forsake us. You hold us up by your righteous hand and you never let us go. We're holding on tightly, God, all the way to the finish line. Help us be overcomers. Help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Bless our lives. Help us, O God. Help us compete in this race that's called life here on earth. And help us be overcomers. And when it's all said and done, we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God a shout. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Amen. We want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you. That concludes our Bible study for tonight. And we're going to continue on next week. I hope you were blessed with the study of God's Word in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I am believing God that God has yet the best to come for us. Can I get amen? Even in all the turmoil, even in all the earthquakes and all the lawlessness in our land, God still has a blessing for us. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because we are a peculiar people. We're not like the world. So his hand is over us. Amen. And we are shielded from all that. Can I get amen? Amen? He watches over his own. Like a mother hen watches over her chicks. That's how God watches us. Amen. Know that God is always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I may be speaking to someone that's logged in on Facebook and YouTube. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray and ask God to come into your life and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Maybe you logged in by accident. You were typing in grace, and amazing grace popped up. And then the preaching of the word pricked your heart. And now you're here all the way to the end of the message. And now you are saying, what must I do to be saved? Call upon the Lord, the Bible says. Call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to come into your life. And he will save you like he saved us. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And maybe you will give your heart like we did. For me, it's been 33 years. For you, it's right now. Right now. God can begin your life right now in Christ Jesus. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.